Welcome to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate Show. Whether you are an active or passive investor, we'll teach you how to scale your real estate investing business into something big.
Blake Daly is a lieutenant in the Air Force. He's a multifamily syndicator and stationed and living in Panama City, Florida. He started real estate investing by house hacking, doing hurricane rehabs, then into Burr and B. I've not heard that yet.
Yep.
That's a fun one, Blake. And now commercial multifamily. His focus is on capital raising and acquisitions, and he manages his own assets. And he is also the host of the Multifamily Journey podcast, where he gives transparent tips and advice of how to get into and scale in multifamily to achieve financial freedom and an enriched life. Blake, welcome to the show.
Awesome, man. Thanks for having me, Sam.
Hey, man. The pleasure is all mine. Same questions I ask everybody who comes to the show. Can you quickly tell us, where did you start? Where are you now? And how did you get there?
Yeah. So started out in Panama City, like you were saying, with that house hack. So that was our first one. Used the VA loan, got in for 0%. Awesome way. You know, if you have any military listeners in your audience, that is like the most amazing loan product in the world. So if you can utilize it. So we did that and got a 2-unit property and rented the extra unit on Airbnb. And it kind of opened up the world to me of Airbnb as an investment strategy. Cause my plan was to house hack small multifamily and, you know, just continue to get house after house and do that whole thing until eventually, you know, long down the road, I planned on getting into bigger multifamily. But that all accelerated thanks to Airbnb in part and doing that Burr B&B strategy, which is just a combination of the Burr strategy, buy, rehab, rent, refinance, repeat, with Airbnb short-term rentals. So we're doing that now. We've got 4 projects we're working on right now. They're in various stages of renovations. It's like 63 units, I think, that are going to be all short-term rentals. And also syndicated a apartment deal earlier this year, but focusing more on the Burr B&B stuff now. And we'll plan to come back to multifamily when the market cools off a little bit. We actually get some yield on our investments. So that's what brought us into short-term rentals right now.
Wow. Okay. Lots to unpack there. You said 4 projects. That'll be total of 63 short-term rental units.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a bear.
Wow. How many of those are currently live? Were they all?
Yeah. So out of all of that, we have 2 live out of the 63, which sounds like nothing right now, but we bought all these. 3 are going under almost full renovations. One's a complete gut job, you know, up from the studs and even report the concrete floors in there. That one is a really big project. The others are kind of like intermediate renovations. I mean, those are all in the Florida panhandle. And then our one with the live listings is in South Lake Tahoe. And we're transitioning that one from long-term rents to short-term rental. So it's just taking that transition time. We got some more units that'll be coming on next week. So pretty soon here in the next, you know, couple months, that project will be done and then get rolling on getting these other ones live all at once instead of bringing units in phases.
Right, right, right. Yeah. I bet you're anxious to get those income producing.
Yeah, absolutely. And the ones we have live have been getting really good responses. I mean, the property is in an absolutely amazing location. The team we have on the ground is doing a great job. So it's like exciting to see it come around.
Walk us through some of those projects. I mean, because it's one thing to get one project, but then to just keep, in this case, you tripled down. You said you have 3 or 4 projects, quadrupled down. You said, all right, well, I got one, but now we're going to make that 4 projects. And yet they are all, none of them are considered, you know, we'd call it leased up, which they're not out there actually working yet. So how did you have the confidence to keep moving forward when opportunities presented themselves?
Yeah, it was definitely a big jump, like you're saying. So the first one I closed on in February, and that was the full gut renovation, the largest project out of all of them. So I knew it was going to take longer, and we're actually a little bit over now, but keep rolling. And because of that, you know, we looked at the market, we saw the demand, and I knew it was really strong going into it. But then when it came time to the renovation, I was looking at getting it on live. So dug back into the numbers, got my underwriting better, and then looked at the market comps for those kind of units too. And I was like, man, we're going to have hundreds of thousands of equity in this thing. And we got in at a really cheap price, got owner financing on it. Like I don't want to say all the stars aligned, but like all the work went into it to make it, once it's done, it'll be set up really well. So we started looking at more of these projects and found really within probably a 1 or 2 week window, identified 2 in Panama City Beach that we were going to potentially take down. And then it turned into doing both of them. And thankfully they closed staggered. So one closed in June and one closed in August so that we could start the work and it not be all the same stuff all at one time. So we've got different phases going on. And then with my current business partner, I was bringing those 2 deals to the table and he was going to help run them, obviously. But he's like, man, I just don't feel like I'm, you know, bringing enough value to the table. So he's the one that's out in California. South Lake Tahoe is closer to him. And just through networking, talking to brokers, got an awesome off-market deal that was seller financed as well. And the three of those came together. I mean, just kind of, it just happened not all at once. It just really in stages, and it kind of all materialized in this really cool fashion. And now, because we're able to do all these, our systems and our operation is really a lot more efficient, especially in Panama City, where we have two properties. We can, you know, spread the staff and the management, you know, lawn care, pool service, all that kind of stuff over those two properties, get our expenses down and have a, you know, wider margin. And then those same systems that we use to operate short-term rental, all the software and stuff like that, is the same that we're using on the South Lake Tahoe property. So our per unit expenses at, by adding more is actually lower as we get more units. So it really came down to the efficiency of getting all the, all three of these at one time. And it's so far working out.
Man, that's really cool. How are you funding these opportunities?
So these ones, we got two private investors. We didn't syndicate this round of deals. Two private investors that, you know, just came out of personal network. So we didn't like have to go out there and do a big raise. Really, it was just, I mean, it's such a strong opportunity. The numbers look amazing, especially with what we've already seen with our live units, a little bit better than we expected too. So they're pretty happy so far.
Right, right. What type of terms did you get from someone? Like, can you talk on size of the deal, how much money you had to borrow from them?
Yeah, I think the total raise was like 1.3 million, maybe 1.32, something like that. That's our total equity raise. We, my partner and I put, I think 120 or 150, something like that, grand ourselves in between the two of us. And then they brought the other 1.3, and that was our total equity from rehabs to reserves, you know, to the down payments, everything we needed to get the deals done. And they came in as equity partners. So they've got a preferred return before we take any money. I think that's at 10%. So we're, you know, going to return 10% before we start taking our cut of the equity. And then after that, we've just got our equity split. So pretty good terms for them to get a really strong return. Cause really we got to, you know, the first time working with these two individuals, and they're, you know, our only two investors. So really trying to prove ourselves to them and make right by them, which you always want to do when you're raising money in general, but it's kind of a little different dynamic than when you go out syndicate, you might have 20, 30, 40 or 50 investors or more. Intimately engage with these investors, giving them, you know, personal updates and, you know, sharing videos and stuff like that, and really engaging them in the process.
Right, right. How did you have the, and I know you said it came from your personal network, but even inside a personal network, borrowing $1.3 million from someone, people typically want to see a track record.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really good point. And that was a big, I don't want to say hurdle, but that was definitely the biggest thing, just because that amount of money from one person, you know, would typically seem more risky than maybe putting just $50,000 in a syndication. So really the track record and what we leaned on was my own short-term rental operational experience. So we had self-managed my wife and I up to seven of our own, you know, built the systems, built the, you know, the reviews were on the first, all of our listings were on the first page. All were super hosts performing really well. And we'd done this for 2 years. We handed off to property management since so that we could continue to focus to grow and scale. But in that time, and we learned a ton. Like there was times where I'd have to leave the Air Force base at lunch to come clean the unit myself, you know, be in uniform, take off my OCP blouse and get down into it. And that's just the way we did it. It might not have been the smartest way up front, you know, to grow and scale. But for us, it was awesome because we got such good experience doing that. And then my partner, he syndicated his own deal with, you know, without GPs, just syndicated his own deal. And then we syndicated the one, the apartment complex together. And he's been in the space for a while. So he's got a lot more experience on the multifamily commercial side and kind of managing all of that, that whole process. And then I've got the operational experience to the rehabs, the operations of the short-term rental. So really the two of us combined really built, and that's like the power of teamwork, which I always say, like commercial real estate, multifamily, whatever, is really a team sport. You have to lean on the strengths of your partners. And that's what we did here. And we're able to show that to the investors to give them that confidence.
Right, right. Yeah, absolutely. So your investors came in. Did you guys have to take loans out on these properties, or was it owner finance like you talked about earlier?
Yeah. So two out of the four are owner finance, which definitely helps. And they were, I think, 15 and 20% down respectively. So that helped us, you know, not have to dish out an extra couple hundred grand, whatever that would have shaken out to be. And then the other two in Panama City Beach are financed with a commercial hard money lender. And the reason we did that was, one, really out of necessity for the speed of the first one, because the turnaround time was insane once the seller decided to sign the contract when he wanted to close and everything. So that was mayhem, but we got it done. And they just turned out to be a really great firm, got much better terms on the second deal. And we're actually looking to do more with them because there's really not a lot of financing options for these kind of properties that are underperforming hospitality at this time. You know, lenders typically don't want to touch it. So the rate is certainly a little bit higher, more points and stuff like that. But at the end, I mean, we have so much equity on the back end of these things. Like the appraisals have already basically over doubled our purchase price on both of those. So yeah, they know they're safe now after seeing that first appraisal come back. They're like, okay, we'll give you better terms on this second loan now.
Right, right. Yeah. And I always say that the speed of money is often worth more than the price of the money.
Yeah. I mean, it was really, really impressive how fast they were able to close. And now we just have, you know, personal relationships with them and looking to do more with them. So yeah, the necessity in the beginning was very stressful for us, but it's actually turned out to be pretty fruitful.
Right, man. That's super cool. That's super cool. And I love just the, you know, roll up your sleeves attitude in the beginning. Cause that's, I mean, that's where I think all of us, you know, I've started out. I can rewind 6-7 years and show you refrigerators that we cleaned out and flips that we were doing. And now I'm like,
if I could do the same, I could probably dig them up out of my.
Absolutely. And I'm like, wait, I laugh at it now. It's like, no, I'm not spending 3 hours.
But isn't it funny? You know, like you hear the stories of people making it and, you know, that have these huge portfolios. And oftentimes like that's where they start out if they come up through this route. I mean, there's something to be said about doing it yourself and going through the trenches, you know, like starting out as, you know, the private crawling through the mud, and then you get to be the general command in the battlefield. So it just takes time to work up through that.
Oh, 100%. 100%. That's super cool. Hey, let's talk a little bit about how you are building this as a scalable model. I know you alluded to it. What does that mean to you and how are you actively doing that?
Yeah. So at scale, when you get into the short-term rental business, anything past like, you know, 1 to 3 properties, you really have to treat it like a scalable thing. So we've, you know, now hired property managers for each property, that the one in South Lake Tahoe that's now finished and the one in PCB that's close to being finished. Got managers for those. We've got maintenance staff, everything taken care of to where, you know, it flows from, you know, the vendors or the guests or whatever to the property managers to us as the operations managers right now. And now what we're actually doing is looking at hiring a director of operations, you know, whatever you want to call that role, to then manage those managers. And, you know, we're over the whole thing. So that's one thing we're looking at right now, is to get us more out of the day-to-day of the operations, you know, making sure that, you know, when a guest checks out and we have a cleaner go clean the unit, that we can match the clean or the review to the cleaner, so we can have that quality control of all that type of stuff. So we're very, you know, detailed in what we're doing right now and building the system. So we're running off of EOS right now out of Traction, which if you haven't read Traction, if you're, you know, building a portfolio and looking to scale, that book is absolutely amazing. I mean, the amount of markups I have in it and how much wear that book has, because I've used it so much, is incredible. So awesome book. We're using EOS, you know, using our weekly scorecard to keep us on track and looking at hiring those next people so that we can continue to get back in acquisition mode once we get these stabilized and continue to build this thing.
Yeah. So my next question was, you know, what's the finish line look like for you in this business?
Yeah. So I don't know. I don't think in terms of, you know, a finish line. I think of in terms more of milestones. And I think where we're heading is to do, you know, we started off with some properties that started out in pretty poor shape. Because of that, we're doing much larger renovations, which is, you know, good repetition for the business. You know, you learn so much working with contractors and all that kind of thing. But I think the next phase would be probably to get properties that are a little bit newer, maybe a little bit nicer, so that we can have, you know, kind of the full spectrum of units that's within our portfolio. When guests go to check out our website, you know, they see the professional interface and depending on their preference can choose like a really nice place and are, you know, are more affordable, which are going to be awesomely decorated, great boutique spaces. But there is a slight difference, you know, if you're staying in a, you know, a 2000s build or newer, that's, you know, a modern design and stuff like that, and doesn't look from the outside like, oh, that used to be a motel, which is cool kind of thing, but it's just different. So I think in the newer properties that have a more modern feel, and then getting a professional designer too, so that they just look awesome. And then eventually probably building our own boutique hotel. So getting into the development side of things and building them to, you know, fit our business model and our vision. So pretty exciting things coming up. And then, you know, getting into those markets that we want to spend time in visiting, you know, getting into the Tampa market, maybe the Southern California market. We're thinking about Key West, like what's that next thing look like? Where can we have properties at? Maybe Cancun, I don't know. So places that we want to, you know, spend time visiting and, you know, going and checking up on our operation for tax write-off vacations.
Exactly. Exactly. Absolutely. Talk to us about the multifamily property that you guys bought, how it came across your desk, what was the size of it, how you decided to take that down. What was that all about?
Yes, that was a 66 unit in Greensboro, North Carolina. It had It was in the Midtown district, right outside of downtown, really up and coming, trendy neighborhood, and really appetizing, I guess, acquisition price that we got it at based on, you know, where the market's heading there. And I got into how I came into the deal. We have several GPs on the deal, but I came in with my current business partner, was friends, colleagues, whatever, networked, met at a conference maybe of the guys who found the deal. And this was their first syndication. They had never went through the capital raise process and they needed help raising capital. My business partner, he's the underwriting and that kind of analytical side. So he did that, the investor reporting and the portal, set that up. And then I went out and raised capital and helped get this thing closed. So that's kind of how it all came to be. And right now we're closing that in February. So it's been, you know, 6-7 months of operation now. And we're taking the units. So it's a value add acquisition. So we're upgrading the units to match, you know, the newer quality units that are in that neighborhood that the young, you know, professionals and all that kind of thing want to stay because it's walking distance to so many great locations, Publix, Starbucks, all that kind of stuff. And what we're doing is, you know, upgrading flooring and countertops and stuff like that. I think the CapEx budget was like $500,000 for the 66 unit apartment complex. Costs in a big way. They had just crazy service contracts that were like astronomically high to where when we looked at the financials provided by the seller, it was like, holy crap. I mean, we have, you know, tons of value just by cutting out the unnecessary expenses. And then they had covered parking that wasn't being charged for. They had extra storage space that wasn't being utilized. So we're able to increase the income in several different areas, you know, unit renovations, paid parking, storage, and just getting the other ones up to market rent that are already in better shapes and then cut expenses. So, I mean, we're adding massive value to the NOI on that one.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I think it's funny how people can overlook, I mean, what $25 a month can become.
Yeah, when you spread it out over that many units, it's all like in the power of how commercial multifamily is valued. You know, the higher your NOI, you know, the market cap rate staying the same, that's on the bottom of the equation. So when you divide it, it's going to, you know, make your value that much higher. So yeah, little things like that, or if you can take, you know, cut $20 per unit per month off your expenses as well. I mean, that makes that gap even wider.
Right. Yeah. Same story. Yeah. That's incredible. And it's fun, you know, to see those opportunities and then, you know, be able to act on them. So I think that is very cool. Talk to us. You know, we talked a little bit about using private money to scale. Talk to us about your morning routine. What is that? What does it mean to you? What do you do?
Yeah. So this is a big one. That's actually during my morning routine in like the last week or so, I was reading part of my morning routine. There's this excerpt. There's a Chinese proverb. It's talking about the different cultures and how, you know, the work ethic of the West and the East. There's this Chinese proverb. It's like the guy who gets up early 365 days a year is going to be a rich man. Yeah, I think getting up early is such an incredible like leg up if you can dedicate that time to personal growth and development, because you're the only one up. It's still dark outside. There's nothing to do. Nobody's buzzing your phone. Nobody's calling you or emailing you because they're all asleep. So you get time that you get to just focus. So what I do is I wake up, and what I've been doing probably the last like 2 to 3, maybe 4 months, but definitely more consistently the last 2, is doing yoga like first thing. So I get my blood flowing, get my body moving. Cause when I wake up, I usually feel pretty stiff. And I thought yoga was like for hippies that they do it in parks and stuff like that. But like, it makes me feel better throughout the day too. And I'm not a very flexible person, especially after I stopped playing football, definitely got tighter, and yoga has helped me in a lot of ways, you know. Then after that, I read, I journal every morning, meditate. That one's more probably inconsistent, but is also, you know, you get a, it's just a really good activity. It helps you, you know, ground your mindfulness and kind of focus on just you for a little bit. And those are, it's really like out of the, if you've ever read The Miracle Morning, it's kind of like the Lifesavers process, S-A-V-E-R-S, not necessarily in that order, but usually those activities.
Right. That's very cool. That's very cool. Yeah. That's a good thing to employ. And I love what the proverb you shared there. What is something who gets up early will be rich or something to that effect. Yeah. That's absolutely cool. That is fantastic. Blake, I've really enjoyed this, and I've just enjoyed hearing kind of your story, what you guys are thinking, how you guys have grown, how you've used private investors to grow. You know, what have been maybe some challenges that you guys have faced? Cause you've had pretty rapid growth. So what have been some challenges you've faced in that growth?
I think the growth right now is the challenge, but it's also like a fun challenge, right? It's something that gets me and my partner both going and love to take that head on. But I think a big challenge that we've had in our business, and even me personally, is contractor selection. I mean, such a huge portion of your business that, like when you're doing value add, you know, real estate transactions, depends on getting the right contractor that can make your vision come through, the improvements. And if you hire the wrong contractor, they're going to one, cost you a lot of time, and then two, cost you a lot of money. And really, if they cost you time, they're costing you money, because we're doing short-term rentals. So every night lost is, you know, potential revenue we're never getting back. So really, speed is not on our side. And by being fast, we can, you know, achieve our goals a lot faster, obviously. So yeah, that was been a big one for us. So now we've completely systematized our contractor hiring process from each step, you know, to identifying contractors, to the follow-up phone calls, to calling references, to getting their license insurance numbers, to then checking the state and putting in their license number, searching them, seeing if they have any records against their license or anything like that. And yeah, just calling those references is a huge one. So all those kind of things are a result from not doing them and getting kicked in the butt by. So that was a big one. And really that one that was on me.
Yeah. And those are things, man, that the devil's in the details. Those are little details that can seem insignificant and feel like a total waste of time.
Yeah. They really add up, especially when you're doing so many different renovations. So yeah, what I've learned through all this is there's really no bad contractors. There's just you as the operator making the decision to hire the wrong contractor. So if there's the good ones out there, you just have to put in the work to one, find them, vet them, and then hire them.
Right, right. What have been, that seems like a pretty soft skill. So what have been some things that kind of tee you off to whether or not they'll be a good or a bad contractor?
Yeah, well, first of all, if they're not going to provide you references, that's probably a red flag right there. And then once you get those references, if you do, I mean, it's not even a question of if you call them or not, like you have to. It's such a critical part piece to that puzzle is talking to past clients and people that they've done work for and seeing, you know, what was their work ethic like? What time did they show up to work? You know, did they meet the timeline and budget? All that kind of stuff. And then when you ask for their license insurance information, like make sure they're a licensed general contractor. We went through that whole thing of, you know, the guy said he was licensed in it and I didn't go search it with the state, and that burned us. Like you can go into, you know, if you just Google search whatever state, Florida general contractor license search, it'll give you that little bar, you put in their license number and it'll show you everything, you know, their expiration date, everything about them, and then their business, if they've got any liens or charges or whatever filed against them and their business and their license. And then if they have it, you know, check the BBB, the Better Business Bureau, and see about their reviews there.
Right, man. That's awesome. Blake, before we jump into the final four, is there anything else you'd like to share with the listeners about your journey, about how you found success, or anything else as it relates to what you guys have done so far?
I just think in general, this real estate is, it's a business that doesn't happen all at once, right? You can invest in an IPO and make it rich, right? You can buy into Amazon at the right time and make it rich. You can buy into Bitcoin and make it rich. Most people don't, but I mean, you can, but that's not how real estate works. It takes time. It builds up, you know, each small win leads to a bigger win over time. Like you don't need to syndicate that large multifamily property tomorrow, right? Just buy a single family house, get into a duplex, get into small multifamily, like build up your skills, and those skills compound, right? If you're taking those learning lessons forward, just stay like slightly uncomfortable. Like don't go, you know, too far out and sink, but you know, stay in, not in the shallow end, but you know, tread water a little bit, get out of your comfort zone and keep pushing and just be persistent. Cause there's been many times where I've like been in a rut and not seeing progress. You know, when you're spending months trying to buy that next property and can't get any leads, you know, you're putting out the offers and you can't get things under contract. Like this year we got four in like such a small amount of time that it was like, holy cow, I think we just need to slow down and stabilize these and, you know, execute on the business plan before we buy anything else. But that was all a product of what the effort we put in the 12 months prior leading up to that point. So you never get there if you don't put in the work and stick to it. So that would just be like my general 2 cents. If you're out there feeling in a rut, or maybe you're not seeing the success you want, like just keep pushing, keep stacking up the small wins, because pretty soon you're going to be standing on a whole stack of wins looking back and like, holy cow, you know, I had my head down and didn't even realize how far we made it.
That's awesome, man. I love that. Final four questions here, Blake. First one is this: if I could give you just $20,000 to invest in real estate with no previous real estate investing experience, what would you do with it and why?
That's a tough one, because if I had the $20,000 now and had to like start from zero, but still knew what I knew, I would dump that into marketing and go out on the acquisitions, on the hunt. And then, you know, find partners or the other pieces to get those deals done. Cause if you have the knack for finding properties, it's usually easier to put the rest together. But if I had no experience in $20,000, I think if you're in that position and haven't thought about or looked into house hacking yet, you're really missing a huge opportunity, because you can get the best loans, the best rates, the best terms, and $20,000 can get you that down payment, either 0% down VA loan, a 3.5% FHA loan. If you're in a rural area, the 100% or the 0% down USDA loan. There's so many different loan options out there for you to get started. You can get started with that in a 1 to a 4 unit because that's residential property. So if I had that $20,000 and had no experience, I'll just try to get into a house hack because it's such a forgiving strategy and really is kind of like investing with your bumpers on, right? You can't really go wrong as long as you don't like severely overpay, I guess.
Right. Understood. Yeah, that's great. If you could help our listeners avoid one mistake in real estate, what would it be and how would you avoid it?
We were just talking about it. I think it's screen your contractors, choose the right guy up front. Don't do what I've done and have to hire and fire and then hire again and go through that. If you get the right contractor up front, your life will be so much easier. I mean, you'll sleep better at night, you know, the project will look better. I mean, everything. So if you're doing, you know, any value add at all, just spend that extra, you know, take that extra step, screen the contractor, make sure you find the right one first.
Right. Yeah. So true. When it comes to investing in the world, what's one thing you're doing right now to make the world a better place?
Yeah. So right now, actually just this week in donated to a buddy of mine. He's also active duty military, was doing an event for affected members that are special operations that come back with PTSD, you know, maybe wounded, injured, lose a limb, something like that. So he was doing this event for them. So I donated to that. I'm still trying to get my contributions up this year. I'm tracking them down here on my board. So trying to get that number up, contributions to charity. But outside of that, just love to talk to other investors and help them and share what I've learned and help them avoid some of my mistakes, whether it's getting in the wrong partnership or buying the wrong kind of property or, you know, hiring the wrong contractor. So love helping out others.
That's awesome, man. Last question. If our listeners want to get in touch with you, what is the best way to do that?
Yeah, the best way would probably be on Instagram. So you can find me at Blake J. Daily on Instagram or on YouTube. I think it's just at Blake Daily. So put out a lot of information there and just content about the projects we're doing, giving some updates, giving some insight into the Burr B&B strategy. And yeah, you can hit me up on Instagram.
Awesome, man. Blake, thanks so much for your time today. I do appreciate it.
Hey, Sam. Thanks for having me. It's fun.
Hey, thanks for listening to the How to Scale Commercial Real Estate podcast. If you can do me a favor and subscribe and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, whatever platform it is you use to listen. If you can do that for us, that would be a fantastic help to the show. It helps us both attract new listeners as well as rank higher on those directories. So appreciate you listening. Thanks so much and hope to catch you on the next episode.